Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Do you find yourself waking up dreading the day ahead? Maybe it's the never-ending stress or that giant to-do list, or you're just stuck in a boring rut. We've all been there. Today's guest has been there too, but at her very lowest point, something profound happened. She realized that happiness isn't something that only lucky people experience. It's a choice. A decision that you can make starting today. She turned her breakthrough into a movement, a toolkit, and an award-winning book that's changing lives across the country. Deborah Mallow, author of Six Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, is in the house, and the optimistic party starts right now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is often called a ray of sunshine, and it's easy to see why. She's a positivity strategist, mindset coach, motivational speaker, and award-winning author. After earning a degree in textile design and business from Syracuse University, she built a thriving design and licensing company, and she then made a bold pivot into biotech pharmaceutical sales, where she became the number one ranked sales rep at Johnson & Johnson. But it was navigating her own personal trials and tribulations that became her greatest teacher. Instead of letting life challenges steal her joy, she channeled that experience into the Daily Decisions, a self-improvement toolkit that helps people retrain their brain, approach life differently, and find more joy. She shares her message of resilience, self-kindness, and substantial happiness in print media, TV, radio, and podcast across the country. Welcome to the show, Deborah Mallow, author of Six Steps to Fewer Days That Suck, Ditch Unhealthy Habits, Unzip a Happier You.
Thank you, Dr. Friedman. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm such a fan. So talking to you in person, wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, of all the guests that I've interviewed, you have what every person listening right now desires, fewer days that suck. So first share, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, there I was, standing on a New York City subway platform, running to the next sales call. And all of a sudden, even though it isn't a big change, I realized if I don't change something, nothing will ever change. And I was burnt out. I had lost my joy. And I said to myself, what's the point? I could win and win and win and win every single sales award. But if I'm not happy, and then the people around me are affected by that, what good is it? So I made the shift. I made the change. It takes a lot of effort. It takes determination. But the great thing is we control our thoughts, our actions, our perspective, our words, and how we talk to ourselves. So that's what I set out to do, Dr. Friedman. And I did it. I really did. It took time, but I did.
Yeah, that's great. You did such a great job. I know your book shares six really simple steps to rise above that mundane and unhappy life. And can you share a couple with us and how we can start implementing those today?
Well, absolutely. I wrote the book, as you know, in double pages. I didn't want anything overwhelming. I didn't want a lot of graphs and charts. I just wanted prompts, simple strategies, action items, little things, little shifts we could do starting today. I read about people that inspired me and actually got through their problems and troubles and came out the other side. And I read about the science, the why we do what we do. So I started with the decision. I call my brand The Daily Decisions because it's our choice. Change begins the moment you choose it. And then I went through Ditch Unhealthy Habits because we need to clear the physical, the mental, the emotional clutter. Because let's face it, the sunshine can't get in if the windows are dirty, right? And then I go into the mindset, step three, the action, the attitude, the commitment. And each double page just has little things that we could do that we all struggle with, like walk away from negativity or the procrastination, the manage stress, welcome calm. And life is messy. Nothing is easy. There's no magic bullet, but we can make those decisions for ourselves to make little shifts at a time, not big, massive overhauls, the little shifts, because our brains thrive on patterns. And the more we create these positive patterns, the more they'll stick. And I say that you don't discredit the strategy until you try it.
Yeah, so true. I know one of my favorite simple tips of yours is just look in the mirror and smile. And it may sound cheesy, but research shows that the brain can't distinguish between a fake smile and a real one. A forced smile actually releases dopamine and serotonin, reduces stress, and it lowers your heart rate. But Deborah, for someone going through a difficult time, that mirror can be pretty hard to face sometimes. How can they start turning things around when smiling feels like a stretch?
And I totally understand, because I was there. I was in the muck. I really empathize. And that's why I started this. That's why I decided to publish the book when it really was only for me, because so many people are stuck in their own minds, in the circular thinking. So that's why I say, Dr. Friedman, little shifts at a time. You can't try to do everything, but you can do little things for yourself. So once you're about to go down a rabbit hole, make that shift. Say to yourself, I'm going to flip the script and turn whatever it is that's bothering you, distract. Find something else to do to make yourself feel better. Even just a small movement. You know, when we get stressed, it's little things we could do to pause, to reflect, to bring in gratitude and appreciation. And I know that that sounds, when you're really stuck and you're not feeling good about yourself, I know that sounds overwhelming, but once you start to do it, the wonderful thing is about accomplishment is accomplishment boosts our confidence. So once you make these little wins, they build on themselves. And that's why I always say, don't discredit the strategy until you try it. We need to give ourselves grace. We need to be kinder to ourselves, to accept ourselves. Even in the moment, give yourself a hug. That hug relaxes and makes you calmer, and it releases oxytocin, which is a feel-good hormone. It's all these little things we can do.
Yeah, I love that you brought up being overwhelmed, because I think that's a big issue. I remember my mom, when I was a kid, I was overwhelmed, had a lot of stuff to do, and she says, how do you eat an elephant? I go, I'm not going to eat an elephant. She said, yeah, but if you're hungry and that's all you eat, how do you eat it? And I said, how? And she said, one bite at a time. And you'll get through the, I'm like, wow. And I'll tell you, that little advice has stuck with me. And I'll have this to do that and that deadline and this, some CPA wants it. And I go, how do you eat an elephant? And it really calms me down. So I love that. It's just baby steps, you know, it wins the race. And one thing that your book talks about is ending self-sabotage. Why do you think so many people unconsciously get in their own way?
Because we just don't allow ourselves to, as I say, give ourselves a hug, to appreciate ourselves. And I think many times we don't mean to harm ourselves, but what we're doing by the circular thinking, or thinking that other people are judging us when they're really too busy worrying about themselves, or we want to accomplish something, but we procrastinate. I just think we just need these little strategies to do things simply, little steps again. And I keep coming back to that, because not trying to do everything at once, like you said, one bite at a time. And that's where I think the self-sabotage comes. We get so overwhelmed that we let everything affect us, impact us, make us feel less than, and that stops us from moving forward. And that's what I try to help people do, is just little steps to move forward, to build these accomplishments so that we feel better. Because once we feel better, the saying goes, when you feel better, you do better. And that really is true. And I always say to myself, because we all have these moments where we can go negative or we could circular think or we could worry about things that are really never going to happen. But if we're able to just pause, reflect, and stop ourselves from doing that, it really makes all the difference. Build these accomplishments, build our confidence, build our resilience, knowing that we can get through it. Like I said, life will be messy and nothing is perfect, but it's how we sort of push through and how we give ourselves grace in order to do it, not to put so much pressure on ourselves to stop and calm down, to distract and do something else, to reward ourselves when we do something that's really good, rather than saying, like I used to do, I wouldn't focus on all the 10 fantastic things I did in a day. I focused on the things that didn't meet my expectations, when it should be the reverse. Make yourself an accomplishment jar. See how wonderful you really are. I'm not saying to think the world of yourself and not think about other people, but when we feel good about ourselves, that's when we can be there for other people. We're not going negative. Who wants to be around people that are negative all the time? And you know, Dr. Friedman, the studies show that when we care for ourselves, we focus on our well-being, when we let positive emotions take over and become part of our everyday, when we have good social connections, we're happier. And the studies show that happier people live longer. And negativity can really exacerbate and make your health worse. So think about that. What serves you? I always say when I need to calm down, does this serve me? And that just stops me from going further and going down a rabbit hole. It really does work.
So true. And I just thought of something. I don't think there's ever been a study showing out there that people that are laughing and have fun are having a heart attack during that time, but there sure are when they're stressed and pissed off.
Right. Right. And it doesn't serve us. And I know in the moment, because I used to be that person, Dr. Friedman, I would get angry. And I know now you wouldn't believe it because I really have changed because it doesn't serve me. I would get angry at the drop of a dime. And who did that hurt? Who does it hurt? So now I pause and I think first, or I distract and do something else, so the anger or the frustration doesn't take over, because it doesn't help. It might hurt other people, but really, people just walk away. So you really need to protect your energy. It's all about protecting our energy.
Yeah, it was the same way I discovered that a rule I live by is, if you can't change it, don't stress about it. Traffic can't change it. Why scream and yell and honk your horn? Plane being canceled, can't change that. Why piss off and make your face red? And you know what? 85% of my problems disappeared when I said, you know what? I can't change that. Why let it steal my joy? And I love that. Sounds like what you did, as you realize you're in your own world of changes that you can make, and that's enough.
And everybody, really, we all are capable. Like I said, we can't change what other people are going to do. We can't do that, but we are in control of our emotions. And I know that's difficult. I really do empathize. But again, keep going back to the small shifts, the little changes over time that create these positive habits that stick. And you've done it, I've done it, people I coach have done it. It's really doable, but you have to focus on it. It's not easy work, but it's for us. That's the best part of it. It's for us. It makes life better.
It sure does. There's a saying I love. It says, a ship at sea never develops barnacles, but one sitting idle at the dock will. And one of the greatest silent destroyers of happiness is stagnation. And, you know, every day looks exactly like the last, and we stop having things to look forward to, yet so many people stay stuck because the unknown scares them. How do you help people push past that fear and shake off their barnacles?
Exactly. We have to push past the fear. And that's really difficult. But once you do it, these accomplishments, once you push past the fear and you see, that's resilience, right? You see that you're able to actually overcome, and you feel better when you talked about this before, you get out of the comfort zone, right? And that comfort zone, let's face it, it's really not comfortable. It really stifles us. So being able to overcome our fears, and of course, fear is also, there's reasons for fear, and it's good in its own way where it protects you from danger. But many times it's just our mind talking, and it's the stories we tell ourselves that stop us. And that's what we want to push past because it's not serving us, the fear. And is it easy? No. But pushing past our comfort zone and actually coming out the other end and finding our resilience, building our confidence, lets us do it again and again. It's just taking the leap. That's why I say I have those call outs in my book, flip the script, take the leap, ditch the habit. It's these little things. If we just say these few words to ourselves, it stops us from going down, as I keep calling it, a rabbit hole because it's not serving us. We all want to enjoy our lives. We all do. So it's up to us to make these shifts to do that.
I love the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. And like you said, that's in your mind. A lot of that is just like, you know, you get through it, you go, oh, that wasn't so bad. But you went through it. A lot of people says it's going to be so bad, they don't try it. That's the difference. The other side of fear is usually relief, like, wow, I got through that. And if you don't push your boundaries, we're stagnant, like you said. And then there's the barnacles. So well said there. And one thing that you're really an advocate of is starting your morning with the right tone. You're saying that it sets everything to follow. Yet so many people reach for their phone first thing, they dive into the doom and gloom news, social media. This is a guaranteed recipe for stress and negativity. And you know what? It steals their joy. What are some simple habits people can adopt to start their mornings on a more positive note?
Absolutely. And what I like to do, of course, you can switch it up so that it becomes fresh. But I like to smile at myself because smiling, as we said, it makes us feel good. And I like to, again, give myself a hug. I say positive things. I look at the positive things ahead during the day. And it just sets it up right. Of course, it's very important also to eat protein, healthy fiber, things like eggs or avocado, yogurt, things that are going to make us feel good, not sugary drinks or things that can make us sluggish. And also, and I know it's hard for some people to get a good night's sleep, that also helps set up the day right. But saying positive things, because you know, Dr. Friedman, there's that cortisol awakening response that happens 30 to 45 minutes after we wake. And it's what makes us alert. But if we're stressed, if we don't have like a positive morning plan, if we feel that panic, it gets even more intense. So what we need to do is to calm the cortisol spike and manage it so that we set the day off right. Because when you start the day on a more positive note, you're more apt to finish the day on a more positive note. You're there in the present moment to be with other people, to make things right, to get your tasks, whatever you need, done. So it's really important to start the day off on a positive note, however you want to do the morning routine. Some people like to stretch. Movement is really good too for alleviating stress.
Yeah. So basically, stay away from the doom and gloom news first thing. Like you said, that cortisol, you look at that and it's like, who's bombing who? Who's this, that? And you know what? That sets the tone. And that's how you start. So as you and me are big fans of comedy, look at something funny in the morning. Read something motivational, positive. Look at the news later. But man, that first thing in the morning, so crucial. And I love how you said you got to wake up your morning and make a point then. Because you know what? If you started off bad, it's not going to get any better. You started off wrong. So you can alter that. So I love that. advice. One thing is you've laid out so these great, easy steps that anyone can follow. No excuses, no complicated systems. I love that. But the problem is procrastination. It's real, it's ruthless, and there are 365 tomorrows in a year, and most people, they find a way to use every single one of them. How can people get off that hamster wheel? Even if it's a simple book, you'd be surprised how many people put it on the bookshelf, and they don't even take the time because they're, I hate using the word lazy, but they put off what they need to do. What can we do?
Yeah, and I don't even think it's lazy as much as I think it's overwhelm. It's just the idea of starting. I love this quote, the start is what stops most people, right? So what I find is it's small steps. So I break things down into small steps, small things that I need to do. That's how I even write a to-do list, not everything all at once. And especially if you have a big project you're doing, break that down too, because it really helps to be clear on what you're doing. And then just say 1, 2, 3, starting now. That's what I do. Or rolling and action, and just start. Stop thinking about it. Thinking about it and circular thinking is not going to get it done. And then it's like Parkinson's law, right? That we use all the time we have for a project and we get it done at the last minute. Well, rather than that, tick off the little tasks at a time to be able to get things done and stack them. And then in between, reward yourself when you actually accomplish the task before going on to the next one. And as you see, these accomplishments build, that helps push us forward. That's what leads to the success at the end of the year. And that's why I say it's really good to have an accomplishment jar so that you can see, you can actually read what you've actually done. And that pushes us forward. And even things that you don't think you can do, like we talked about fear, just try it. I heard in another podcast, you said, just say yes. You said William Shatner said, he just said yes to everything. And I know Shonda Rhimes did that too with her book. It's just really important to just go for it. Stop stopping yourself. We all stop ourselves when we could just 1, 2, 3, do it. And I know it's not easy, but if you do it in small steps, small tasks, it becomes easier.
Which of you is an affirmation, speaking things into your subconscious so it becomes reality? Is this something that we should practice? Are you an advocate?
Oh, I am. The thing about affirmations is it's not just about saying it. It's about taking the action and doing it. That's the key. Because you could say, I'm positive. I am enough. You could say all these things, but you really need to believe it. You really need to act on it. You really need to show up and show yourself that you can do this because we're all capable. I always say, as trite as this sounds, we're all a gift and we are who we think we are. You want to think you're wonderful? That's who you'll become. You want to think you're less than? That's who you become. So let's all start thinking, but be humble, of course, but thinking that, yes, we can do it. It's Henry Ford's quote, which I know you probably love too, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So I always like to say, let's say I can. Side with I can.
I love that. You know, you remind me, one of my favorite childhood books was The Little Engine That Could. The mantra was, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It really shaped the way I faced everyday challenges that life threw at me when I was younger. I love the book, but so many of today's children are not being raised in that environment. They're in negativity, self-doubt, with no little engine that could guide them. And you know what? I don't even think that book's around anymore. We need that book out. What can parents do to turn that around and give their kids the mindsets, as your book so brilliantly puts it, to have fewer days that suck?
Absolutely. Well, it all starts with modeling for your children. And I know parents, I am a parent, and I know that it can be really overwhelming because besides working, taking care of the home, taking care of the children, their schoolwork, everything, it can become a lot. But we need to pause and reflect before responding. Don't react, respond. Talk to your children kindly. Model that for them. I know it's not easy, but we need to do it for ourselves first and then be able to help our children. Put the oxygen mask on ourselves first, make the changes we need to make, and also model for our children so they too can become confident, resilient, self-kind humans. Because when we like ourselves, when we're confident and resilient and kind to ourselves, we're kinder to other people. And raising good humans, to me, is the biggest joy in the world. And we all want the best for our children, right? So doing that, it's not about just giving stuff. It's more about feeling good inside. And that's what we need to do for our children so that they feel good inside and they feel good about themselves. And that's what's really helpful when raising your children.
Yeah. Especially get their faces out of that social media, because you say, I think I can. Well, no, because a lot of that's fake and you can't do that. It's like, it's not really them. It's not real life, but they have this monumental belief that that's where life is and it's not. So I think that that's really destroying a lot of the children's joy and ability to rise above and beyond. So I love that you said that. One thing that I read, I was when I chat with you about, I read that when life gets you down, clean out the clutter in your house. And apparently it goes beyond feeling more organized. Is there something to the idea that tidying up your outside world can impact your health and how you feel on the inside?
Absolutely. As I mentioned in my step two, ditch unhealthy habits, once we need to clear the physical, mental, and emotional clutter, we need to have our environment so that it feels good, so it doesn't overwhelm us. All of that is so important. The outside, whether toxic people talk about the outside environment, it's not selfish to sort of rid the toxic, not allow the toxic in. That's even people that are negative, that bring you down. We all want to help other people, but we need to, as I mentioned, put the oxygen mask on ourselves first. Feel good ourselves first is really important. So absolutely, it's important to clear your habitat, your mind, your spirit, the people who bring you down. All of that needs to be cleaned up, and not to feel guilty about doing it. Because again, think of it. If you feel good, you're better for the people around you. So it all starts with self-care. And that to me is the best thing you can do for yourselves so that you enjoy and then the people around you enjoy too. So good.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I have a dog and the floor needed clean and I've been busy and the next day needed clean the next day. And then you look down, you see it and you just think, I'll get to it. And it's like, I just felt like that's what I was noticing. And I cleaned the floors and my whole attitude changed. It's like, wow, you clean your environment. And when I'm on the phone a lot of times, if I'm trying to do some deep in thought and stuff, or I've got a problem to solve, I'll clean while I'm on the phone. And I'm telling you, they work hand in hand. You clean your environment and you clean your environment, you know, your environment, both of them. So I think there's something to it, because it was like, God, you know, I'm looking at the floor and I just, it's in the backside of my mind. And when I clean it, I go, wow, I can think better. I feel better.
Accomplishment. See, it's these small wins. You just set this whole conversation up so well. As a wrap-up, because it's these small wins we do, these little accomplishments that make us feel better, that bring that confidence and help us push through to make the next accomplishment or clean up the next mess.
That's so true. Let me ask you this. One simple thing I do to have fewer days that suck is I turn off the doom and gloom news and I turn on music. And I'm telling you, instantly my mood shifts. It's like a reset button for me. What are your thoughts on the role music plays in our overall happiness and well-being?
Oh, I am all for it. I was at my exercise class at 7 a.m. this morning with the music. You see, you get those endorphins, you boost them, you feel good. Music is wonderful. Creativity, music, dancing, all of that. It just boosts us up. It really does. I'm all for it. That's such a beautiful thing to do. If you're feeling a little down, put on an upbeat song. Whatever it is for you that makes you feel good. Oh my gosh, it's the best. It is the best.
It really is. And you know, have you ever had, like, you're listening to a song and then you shut it off and now you're singing that song for hours? It's in your head. You're singing it, singing it. I thought about this. If you're listening to the doom and gloom news of podcasts that are negative, guess what? You're saying that in your head all day. The negative, negative. It's like that song. I'd rather have a happy song in my head.
So funny you said that. One day it was raining outside and I said, it might be raining outside, but it's sunny in my mind. And that's really the truth. We need to keep our mind sunny. This is not about forcing positivity. It's about approaching life differently, being gentle with yourselves, thinking of happy things. And you were talking about on another podcast, this is one of the things I love to do, is you plan things ahead, whether it's a vacation, whether it's planning dinner with friends. It's that anticipation also that lifts you up, gives you something to look forward to, which makes you feel better. And that's what's so wonderful. It's all these little things we've talked about. Little things, micro things that we can do to make ourselves feel better. And the more we think about it and focus on things like that, rather than focusing on doom and gloom and what's negative, the more we'll be happier. I said happier in my subtitle because it's not like you're going to be happy every minute. It's not like it's going to be this euphoric thing that maybe everybody is waiting for, but it's that you're at peace with yourself, that you feel satisfied, little things, not expecting the big thing. That's why even just things like money, yes, it's important, but most importantly is feeling fulfilled, satisfied inside. Purpose, passion, gratitude, appreciation, finding these little things to make yourselves feel better. Don't discredit the strategy till you try it.
So true. And you know, I think that when you get up and you can't get out of bed and you regret the day and all, you know, not if you had something to look forward to. Tell a kid that won't get up and it's, come on, get up. We got to go, no, no. Hey, we're going to go to Disney World. Boom, he's up. It's like, okay, well, that sure changed his mind. Same tired kid popped right out all excited. So we need those little things, not necessarily Disney World, but little things to look forward to. A concert, a visit, a restaurant, you know, schedule that for a married couple. Let's go to a restaurant. We haven't been in a while. And you know what? We're going to schedule that Saturday. And all week, you're looking forward to that meal. And now you wake up, you go, wow, I'm kind of excited. I don't know why. Could have been that little small change that you're looking forward to on Saturday. I love that. Little changes make big, big, drastic moves. Let me ask you this. When life is overwhelming, we talk about being overwhelmed. It's so easy for people. They reach for the wrong coping mechanism. But your approach turns mountains into molehills, not through dramatic reinvention, but really small, consistent daily changes. We talked about, share why that gentler approach, that philosophy is more powerful and lasting than reaching for, you know, that alcohol or something that's trying to give them that up, or the Red Bull. There's so many more easier answers that's tangible that lasts.
And I think I really said it before, is doing these simple little things consistently over time makes the difference. It makes these mindset shifts. It makes us feel better. It makes us more positive because our brains do like patterns. So if they like patterns, which they do, you're rewiring the neural pathways, the neuroplasticity, and doing this really works. It's proven by science that you can make these changes for yourself. And that's what stops the overwhelm, because you know that you can get through it. You know, Dr. David, I read a study. You probably read the same study. It's out of Penn State. And they studied these participants. They found that 91% of what they worried about never happened. They were studying worry. And that's really the truth. We do these things to ourselves. We let our thoughts take over, these stories we tell ourselves, and that stops us from really enjoying in the present. We get into our brains and to our minds. We let fear and overwhelm, everything we've talked about, take over, rather than letting it go, the self-sabotage, all the things we do to ourselves, and doing these small little shifts that we've talked about to think about, what can I do to flip the script to make myself feel a little better today? Well, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't you want to do that for yourself to feel better today? And I know it's hard, but I'm proof. You're proof. It can be done, but you have to make the daily decision to do it. That's why these morning routines or these morning actions, I don't want to necessarily call it a routine, but these morning actions we do are so important, because it helps to set the day off right. It helps to lower the stress, to keep us calmer so we can move forward in a more positive direction. That's what I'm about. Just little things to feel better. Fewer days that suck so we can reconnect with our inner sunshine.
So true. I read a neat study that says when somebody's asked, I've got good news and bad news, which one do you want first? Almost all of them want the bad news. We gravitate. We latch on to bad news. That's the bad news. And then I'll get through that. Then give me a reward with good news. It's like, let's lead with the good news. Let's start positive. We always start with the negative. We're latching out. So that's such a good point, how negativity is. And we stress about things that don't ever happen. It's like, see, that wasn't so bad. I love that saying, when you accomplish something, you're like, you know, it wasn't. I thought this and this would happen and it didn't. So it's like you said, you got to try it and get out there. It's such good info on there. In the couple minutes we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we didn't cover today so they can have fewer days that suck? We all want that. We got that last little tidbit you can share with us?
What I like to say, and I think I did say it before, but it's give yourself grace. Don't be so hard on yourself. I know it's not easy, but before going down a rabbit hole, before getting down on yourself, stop and pause and think, I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to do something nice for myself. Why? Because I deserve it. And then that's what you put out into the universe, and that shapes what comes back to you. You put the good out, it really does come back. The positive attracts positive. Remember that. And negative attracts negative. So why do we want to do that? We want to attract what's positive, what's going to serve us, what's going to make us feel good, so we can pay that forward, pass it along, and create a circle.
Well said. That was fantastic. It was so great having you today with us. And I want everybody to get their copy. The book is called 6 Steps to Fewer Days That Suck. It's a fantastic, easy, bite-sized read. So no excuses. You don't have time. Pick this up. It's very digestible, and it's going to transform you and who you are and how you think. And that's what we all need. I recommend you get a copy, and you can do so by going to thedailydecisions.com. And while there, be sure and download the free companion worksheets and check out the many resources available, including articles, videos, and other helpful tidbits that you can use. And you can follow Deborah on Facebook at The Daily Decisions with Deborah Mallow. And on Instagram, she's at Daily Decisions. And you can follow me on Facebook at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. And if you heard Deborah share something today that somebody you know with too many days that suck needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast, available at toyougoodhealthradio.com and podcasthealth.com, and peruse our podcast library. And as I always say, share these segments with friends and family, coworkers, and on social media. Don't be selfish. Sharing is caring. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.